And Matthew 25 and verse 14. Jesus Christ here speaking. He says, the kingdom of God, still in the wrong place. Trust me, I'll find it. Okay, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. You know, trusted servants, undoubtedly. And unto the first he gave 5 talents, to the second 2, and to another 1. Here's an important line. Every man according to his several ability. Straightway he took his journey. So he gave them the amount of money he thought they could handle in each case and do well with. And then he that received 5 talents traded the same and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2 gained another 2. I'm going to put my phone up here in case I get any calls. No, I'm just trying to keep track of my time, and it's got a clock on it. I asked Mr. Martins, I said, do you have a clock in the room? Because I don't like to go over. I like to discipline myself. And if you've got a stopwatch, I like to speak for 55 minutes. But I don't always do that, but I try. Anyway, on and on it goes here. And then he that received 5 and he that received 2. And likewise, he that received 2 also gained 2 more. He that received 1 digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And this guy was sort of, in the film clip, was kind of a lovable little guy, you know, cartoonish character. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, you delivered 5 talents to me. Behold, I've gained another 5 talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. Now, don't you look forward to that when God Almighty looks at you or Jesus Christ in a spirit sense and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. He says, you've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of his Lord. So he rewarded this servant who had made those 5 talents into 10. And he that received 2 talents came to the Lord and delivered unto me 2 talents. He says, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he which had received 1 talent came to the Lord and said, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you hadn't sown, and gathering where you hadn't strawed. You know, I've worked with a lot of managers over the years, and I find that it seems like the good ones are ones that always expect more than they have any right to expect. And they drive their people, and they encourage their people, and they usually get more than you would expect them to get. He says, I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the earth, and there, you have what is thine. Gave him that. And I remember the guy in the film clip had this little pudgy little hand with a coin in it. And his Lord answered and said unto him, here's a guy that was given something and gave it back. Isn't that fair? That's not what God says here. He says, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I hadn't sowed, that I gathered where I hadn't strawed, and you ought therefore to have put the money to the exchangers. You know, you could have put it in the bank, could have bought stock or bonds with it, and then I would have received my own at least with usury. Therefore, take the talent from him that, and give it to him that has 10 talents. That somehow doesn't seem fair sometimes. And he took this little guy who gave him back his money, and he gave it to the guy that had a lot. There was a guy when I was growing up, some of you are too young to remember Groucho Marx, but he had a show called You Bet Your Life, and he had characters on there that would come on, and they would, I don't know, the two that were usually coming on in pairs, and the two weren't related or didn't know each other. But they had some interesting characters on there, and one of them was a guy named T.D. Lingo. That was the reason I thought he was a sort of a neat guy. He had lived on a glacier in Colorado or something, and he was a real mountain man and sort of a rebel against society. Well, I was 15 at the time. I kind of related to that. And he had a saying, and he was on another talk show, and I don't know why. Usually they're plugging a book, but he wasn't. And he had a phrase, them what has gets. You know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, I guess. Well, that's what happened here. For unto everyone that shall be given, he shall have abundance. From him that has not will be taken away even that which he has. And he cast, this is the part that scared me, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's scary. I don't want to be there where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, particularly when it's my teeth and my weeping. My question for us today, in order to avoid that fate, how do we find and invest our talents? How do we find and invest our talents? Because we are expected to do that. We're expected to be profitable servants, not just to, you know, make do, not just to get by, but we're expected to do something with our lives. We're expected to do something with what God gives us. And I have a friend who's in the church, and, you know, if I don't know that I've ever presented him with this, and he has done some things, he just doesn't realize it, done some admirable things, but he's not very impressive. He would probably say, well, what can I do? You know, and you might be saying the same thing to yourself. And I said that to me when I was a kid. What can I do? You know, to not suffer the fate of the unprofitable servant. Well, I've got some points here, and I hope we can all digest them and look at them and find ways to invest our talents. And point number one is, start where you are with what you have. Start where you are with what you have. A lot of people, I've spent my career in broadcasting, radio, and have dealt a little with entertainers and the entertainment industry. And one of the things that a lot of us, when we think of the entertainment industry, we look at people who get big breaks. You know, some people are just sitting around waiting for that big break. And I worked with a newscaster one time in New York State, and he wanted to go down to New York City and make it in the networks, network radio, which is a big thing. And was just waiting for that big break. Unfortunately, he wasn't doing a very good job where he was. He was just kind of treading water, so to speak, and was not really dedicating himself to what he had to do right there. He's just waiting for that break, waiting for someone to discover him. I don't know how that would happen if he wasn't doing a good job, but to my knowledge, he's probably not even doing that anymore, and I certainly haven't heard him on any network newscasts. So, we can't just sit around and wait for the big break. God will give us opportunity, but we have to be ready. Turn to Luke 16 and verse 10. Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is unjust in much. You know, God expects us to do with what we have. He's not going to all of a sudden, well, he does in a way. He showers us with his spirit. He showers us with opportunity, but we got to take the opportunity and do something about it and be faithful in what he has. How many of you recognize the name Luther Perkins? Raise your hand if you do. I always get an amazing response here. I asked this question in Little Rock once, and there were two teenagers sitting in the back of the room who raised their hands. They knew who Luther Perkins was. Okay, surprised me, because Luther Perkins has been dead for over 40 years. Luther Perkins, if I were to present you with a piece of his work, you would probably instantly recognize it, because it was very well known, still is today, a very enduring thing. Like I said, I was in broadcasting, I was in country radio. If you're not a hillbilly fan, shame on me. But for over 40 years, and I met Luther Perkins once. If you ever listen to an old Johnny Cash record, there's a very distinctive guitar sound in there. If you've ever listened to I Walk the Line, it's a guy just doing a scale. Do, 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 do. And I think most of you have heard that, or if you've heard Folsom Prison Blues, even the newer version that came out in the 60s, he comes out and says, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." And then you hear this guitar in there. And that was Luther Perkins. Well, I played the guitar a little when I was a kid, just sort of on the back porch. And then when I moved to Springfield, I bought a house with trees in the backyard, and I thought, oh, I can go back there and play my guitar under the trees. Found out that the guy who lived behind me was a guitar player, a world-famous guitar player who was Red Foley's lead guitar player on the Ozarks Jubilee. I didn't play the guitar in the backyard anymore. Broke that. But anyway, I could play all those things that Luther Perkins played, and he was making a good living at it. Just that, those simple runs. But Luther Perkins died. He died from smoking. He died from smoking on a couch that caught fire. But when he died, they had to replace him. Somebody who could play that, those simple runs that Luther Perkins played in that distinctive way. They brought in Carl Perkins, who you might remember from Blue Suede Shoes, who was quite an accomplished guitar player. He could hit the notes, but he couldn't do it the way Luther did it. And they launched a nationwide search for somebody that could play like Luther. Wasn't that difficult? And they finally found two guys, one who later ended up in radio. He kind of, you know, fell off the edge of the earth. And another who got the job. His name was Bobby Wooten. The other guy who didn't get the job or didn't take the job was named Johnny Western. Again, if you're old, you might remember him as the guy who sang the theme to Have Gun Will Travel back in the 50s. Bringing up all this old trivia, see? That's why I was so surprised when two teenagers in the back of the room raised their hand, said they knew who Luther Perkins was. But it was difficult to find. I used to run into Johnny Cash once in a while, and one time I said, you know, I could have played those things. I'm sure I couldn't have played it the way Luther did. But he said, well, where were you? Well, I wasn't around then. Or I was busy making a living and raising a family and all those other things that aren't as exciting as, I guess, being on the road with Johnny Cash. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. But now God hath set members, every one of them in the body, as it is pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has put you in his body, in his church. He's done it for a reason. You know, you've got something to offer. God did not make a mistake by putting you into his church. But there are different things. We don't all have the same gifts. But we all have gifts to share. We all have talents to build. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. In other words, serve one another. Be good stewards of the manifest grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, again, or serve, let him do it with the ability that God has given. In all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So, we all have talents that we can give. God has placed us in his body, and God has given us those gifts to share with others. Sometimes it's just encouraging others. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples and gold and pictures of silver. You know, a beautiful thing when you get to, and we don't always have to come up with really wise sayings. I always felt that was needed. Sometimes it's just, I'm sorry for what happened, if it's something discouraging that's happened, or encouraging words to somebody who's done something. And finding things that others do that you can say, well, that was really meaningful and helpful to me. But we can all do that. We can all encourage one another during good times and bad times. James 3 and verse 13. James 3:13. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show forth good conversation, through good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom. Not saying great flowery things, but sometimes saying, if there's anything I can do, let me help. You ever said that? I found myself saying that and saying, I wonder what that means. I wonder if I'm going to get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning from somebody saying, remember what you said about needing some help? And that can go both ways. If somebody's having a problem or if somebody has an opportunity to do something greater, what can I help? What can I do to help? So, you know, encouraging other people, that could be your gift. Maybe that's something you do. I know a man who can barely get out of his house. And for the first few years that I knew him, he didn't even leave his house. His family was in the church. Finally, after much meditation and prayer and everything else, he decided he wanted to be baptized. And he was sick. That's why he couldn't get out. He could hardly move. He's a very, you know, delicate situation inside his body where it's very hard for him to even sit down for a while. So most of the time, if I go visit him, he either stands or he lays in bed. He doesn't lay in bed when I'm there, but he stands. Those are the two situations that he's most comfortable with. And when he was baptized, he said, you know, I think maybe I'll try to come to church once in a while. You know, he's there every single week, just about. And I know it hurts him to go physically, but he's there. And if ever you think, or you know somebody who thinks, I don't think I feel like going to church today. I don't think I need to go to church today. I hope you'll think about his example, because he's setting a great, great example. I don't think he knows that. He just knows he feels he needs to be at church. But it's a great encouragement to all of us. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, you know, talks about gifts and the body of Christ. And now there are diversities of gifts. It's not all the same, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh in all. You know, are you going to let God work through you? And, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You know, I don't know which of you in here has more faith than the other. God knows. You probably don't even know. But God knows, God can see that if you have that faith. To another, the gifts of healing. How many of you have the gifts of healing? I don't know. I know the elders lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil. Anoint cloths is given the example in Scripture. But we also, we didn't have any announcements today, but occasionally we have announcements where we're asked to pray for somebody. Do you do that? Do you take it seriously? Do you pray for those who are sick? And do you pray with a fervent prayer, well-thought-out prayer? Maybe it's your prayer that's providing the gift of healing to whoever needs it. To another, the working of miracles. Maybe your prayers have worked miracles. Maybe you didn't see the result, if you sincerely pray. I'm thinking of one man that I heard of who lived in New England who was a church member, and one day at church he collapsed, and I think he was a relatively young man. Well, to me that's anybody under 70. But he was completely disabled by this, could not even speak. And he could only communicate by blinking his eyes. And he and his wife worked out a language where he could communicate with her by blinking either his left eye or his right eye or whatever the combinations were. And one day the pastor of the church had just lost their meeting hall. They had no place to meet. And they were having a horrible time trying to find a new place to meet in time when the other one ran out. And the pastor was visiting this man who, again, couldn't speak, but he could hear. And he said, his name was John. He said, John, we're having a hard time finding a place to meet for church. Could you pray about that? And, I mean, who knows? But within a very short time, they found another place to meet. Was that guy serving God with his prayers? You know, did he serve that congregation? I don't know what it was, whether his prayer, I'm sure it meant something. But he prayed. He was a worker of miracles, perhaps, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Maybe some of you find it easy to speak various languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. These work, by all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For the body is one. You know, we're all members of the same body. For the body is one and has many members. All members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. You know, whether we all drink in that same Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. You know, just like our bodies are made up of various parts. Skipping ahead to verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, was this man necessary who just prayed in his helpless state? Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need but for that God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And that the body should, there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. You know, do you care for one another? And whether one member suffer, all members suffer. And one member be honored, all members be honored. Do we have that kind of, I call it esprit de corps, that kind of togetherness where we can rejoice when somebody succeeds at something, and when we can all feel sad, and we can all pray for relief from somebody that's maybe suffering? Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. That's a small word in there, helps. Are you a help? Are you someone that I could call at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to need some help with something. One night I was at Spokesman's Club and both my daughters went out for a drive in my daughter's new car. Well, it wasn't a new car. It was an old car that she bought new. It was new to her. And they went driving way out in the eastern Ozarks, halfway to St. Louis, and on the way back, their car broke down in a little town east of Springfield, about 40 miles out. Last place I'd want to go in the middle of the night, but I was in Spokesman's Club. And my wife called me. Somehow she found the phone number there and presented me with a problem, so I had excused myself from club and go out and rescue my daughters. Later, some of the guys that were in club found out about it. They said, you know, you could have called us. We'd have gone out there. And we left her car in that town, called a mechanic. He fixed it. She had to go all the way back out and pick it up when it was ready. But they said, we would have towed it into town for you, into Springfield. Why didn't you let us know? They were helps. They're referred to here. That's one of the things, you know. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know, we all can't do everything. We tend sometimes to think that the most important people in the church are maybe the ministry or somebody high in the administration. Not necessarily. You know, hopefully there are some talented and helpful people up there. I have a lot of respect for the Council of Elders and for Dennis Luker and Victor Kubik, who I have to deal with once in a while. But still, there are a lot of people in the ranks who are very, very valuable, and all of us are a member of the body of Christ. Turn to Luke 21, beginning in verse 1. Luke 21 and verse 1. And here's an example I think we're maybe all familiar with, the widow's mite. And he looked up and saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. not much money, I don't know how much, but not very much at all. And he said, of truth, I tell you, this poor widow has cast in more than they all. You know, here are people who are maybe millionaires, I don't know, wealthy people casting in great treasures compared to the couple of cents or whatever this widow was tossing in. For they have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, but she from her penury or her poverty has cast in all the living she had. You know, are you willing to give everything you've got, if that's what it takes, you know, to serve God? We all have gifts. Again, are you using your gifts? Are you taking prayer seriously? You know, when you hear of a need in the church, are you on your knees praying about it? Or do you think, well, I guess those people in Cincinnati will take care of that. They're very talented. And I remember thinking that way back in the 70s. When there were problems in the church and resulted in a lot of people leaving the church. But before that, I remember thinking about all those talented men out in Pasadena, and they certainly can handle this, but God needs to know that we're behind the church, that we're going to pray for him. Not only that, we're going to rely on him through our prayers to actually get things done through some of these people. So I hope you take your prayer very seriously, and do it. You know, every day. I tend to pray early in the morning because I'm a morning person, and if I wait till the evening to pray, I'm usually pretty wiped out, and if I do pray, I can't give it the effort and the thought that I would in the morning. Maybe you're different. Maybe you're a night person. I'm not. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. So if you do need to call me, don't call me at 8 o'clock at night. That's the middle of the night for me. Well, I do. I go to bed about between 7 and 8, and when somebody's nice enough to call me at 8:30, I don't take very kindly to that. Not if you had an emergency that I could help with, that you wouldn't call me. But, you know, so where was I going with this? I don't know, but we all need to be helpful to one another, and we can all help with prayer. We can all take time to pray. Oh, I was making my excuses for not praying, doing most of my prayer in the evening. Of course, there's a time when you can pray in the evening or the middle of the day or whatever time, but I do the bulk of mine in the morning because I get up. I love getting up in the morning. Some mornings. This morning was particularly good because I got to sleep in. I slept till almost 6 o'clock. That felt good. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Do we trust in God to fill our needs? That they do good. Are we doing good with what we have? That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Again, I can cite the example of some people in the church who it seems they're just very hospitable, very willing to help anyone in any way they can. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And that's what we're all for, isn't it? And again, the importance of prayer, the power of prayer, James 5 and verse 16. Usually this section of scripture, we're dealing mainly with healing, you know, where it says, come to the elders of the church for healing and be anointed. And we practice that. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another. Don't put on pretenses. Doesn't mean you have to go around telling me all your problems and all your sins or anybody else. You know, if you feel that's appropriate, that's fine, but I don't think it's necessary. There's a story, and I wish I won't tell it in all its glory because it has some profanity in it and some ugly phrases, but it's basically about a Pentecostal preacher who tells the congregation that we need to unburden ourselves, we need to confess our sins, and one guy gets up and says, well, preacher, I betrayed the wife of my youth. I've been cavorting with wild women, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been a bad man. And he says, tell it all, brother. Tell it all. I'm not going to tell this whole story because it is kind of foul after a while. And another guy gets up, says, preacher, I've wasted my money. I've gambled. I have an addiction for gambling. I've wasted money that should have been going to feed my children and my wife. Tell it all, brother. Tell it all. And then a woman gets up and says, preacher, I have given my life over to Demon Run. I'm you know, sit home sipping alcohol all day. I'm ignoring my responsibilities, da, 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 da. Tell it all, sister, tell it all. Another guy gets up, this is the part I'm going to leave out, and confesses to a hideous, gross crime and sin and morality, and the preacher says, brother, I don't believe I'd have told that. But, so you don't need to tell it all, you know, but be without pretense. Confess your faults to one another, you know, if it comes up, and that you may be healed. Here's the part I was really getting at. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're too helpless. You don't have a lot of money. Maybe you feel you don't have a lot of talents. How about prayer? Prayer avails much. A fervent prayer, a well-thought-out prayer, not just getting down there on your knees, half asleep, and I've done that. You know, I can feel the prayers bouncing off the ceiling and bouncing back, not getting very far. But taking the time to plan, and maybe go over Matthew 6 and the quote, Lord's Prayer, and build a prayer around that suited to your own, and you know, your own situation. Not that we need to repeat the, what do the Catholics call it, the Our Fathers. But be willing to get down and pray and realize how much that can accomplish. When you use that talent, when you learn that talent, when you develop that talent, when you ask God for help in exercising that talent. We need to pray for the leadership through God, the leadership of God's Spirit. Yes, the leadership in the church, but through God's Spirit. You know, do you pray that God will send His Spirit to help those people in Cincinnati who are the physical leaders of the church, who are dedicated to the church, dedicated to preaching the gospel, preparing a people. You know, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, I think we read this before, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Do you pray that things will be done in the church with the guidance and the leadership of God's Spirit? Of course, we concentrate on that a lot around the day of Pentecost, which is celebrates the day when the New Testament church was founded with God's Spirit. But pray for the leadership of God's Spirit. What does that result in? Galatians 5 and verse 22. You may be familiar with this. A lot of us are. I never assume that everybody's familiar with everything because I know we were told one time not to do that because you never know when somebody isn't familiar with something. We can't assume that everybody knows everything in the Bible that we may take for granted. But Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruits of the Spirit are this, love. You know, do you pray that the word of God, work of God will be done with love, with joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. You know, faith, seeing beyond what's here today to God's kingdom. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. We need to pray that these things will be evident in God's work, in God's church, at every level. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be not desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. It isn't a matter of envying somebody or, you know, what's the old saying I've heard, I wish I had what he has and he had even more. You know, but I wish I had his car and he had a better one. But do we envy each other, or do we support each other? Do we encourage one another? Do we provoke, desire to see the best for other people? Do we volunteer? There's a good example, a good opportunity. Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. This is what we used to call in our business, probably a lot of business, a self-starter. Are you a self-starter? You know, are you somebody that has to be told what to do? Do it by the numbers. You know, I tend to be that way sometimes because my first adult experience in life after getting, when I got out of high school, I decided I was tired of people telling me what to do. My parents telling me what to do. My teachers telling me what to do. I was tired of that, so I ran off and joined the army. And I got used to being told what to do. It's pretty easy life. You just, sometimes you are told to do difficult things, but somebody's always there to tell you what to do. But the ant is a self-starter. I remember one guy, boy, we had to put the brakes on him. He came into Springfield, and he had been moved in from another area where he would distribute literature and the little cards that go on the counters advertising. He would do that and did an excellent job of it. Came to Springfield. First week there, called a meeting of anyone in the church. There was no announcement. He just went around to everybody saying, we're going to do this thing, and would you like to help? We need your help. You've got to help. And we had to put the brakes on. I said, whoa, wait a minute. We're not going to just do this. Go to the pastor. Have the pastor go to Pirowitz. He'll handle it or help with it. So that he became my, you know, it's your dog, Charlie Brown. So he became my project and was very, very zealous and very zealous about getting, if you go to Branson and you see any of our literature out, he did it. He didn't get much help from the rest of the congregation. He didn't get much help from me because I'm not good at that. I don't like going to strangers and asking for things that I have no, without any help, without any idea of what I'm going to give them in return. And he doesn't mind. Hey, you got this counter space here? Can I put some of our literature here? And you know, he gets a lot of people to say, all right. I'm sure a lot of them say, all right, and many of these out the door, they throw it away. But he does get, you know, he's doing some great stuff, but he's a self-starter. Are you a self-starter? I'm not saying you should cause problems by trying to upset the apple cart and get everything done, but by yourself, but maybe suggest things that can be done in the church. We have one lady in Springfield who did that, and a couple of ladies said, you know, we need to get organized here. This was after the first of the year, after this, you know, we need to be doing things as a church, and we had a meeting a few weeks ago, brainstorming meeting, and just came up with a lot of things we could do. Some of them is that we didn't want to do right now. But one of them was mine. I said, why don't we do this? Since there's a Sabbath this year, a Sunday followed by a holy day, let's have a special weekend in Springfield. And I thought, well, we could get those people from Bentonville to come up, or wherever you are now. Springdale, we could get people from adjacent congregations to come down and join us, like we used to do with President's Weekend, President's Day Weekend, and a couple of things came to mind. Did we have time to really get this thing together? And then I called Ed Dowd, who most of you know, in Wichita, being the an adjacent congregation, and I presented it to him, told him the date. He said, well, that sounds really good. In fact, we're doing a 50th anniversary of the Wichita Church. Oh, on that same weekend. So I didn't want to compete with him. And plus, I guess I wimped out a little. I didn't think we had time to get it done and do it the way we should. So, but y'all can come up and enjoy what of it you can, you know, if you want the opportunity. Plus, it's not something we could do in subsequent years because the holy day is not going to fall on either day. Or after a Sunday, 2 days after a Sabbath, where we'd have that nice opportunity in there to do this. You know, if it's on a Wednesday, well, it's not going to present that opportunity. Anyway, we dropped that, but we came up with some really good ideas, thanks to this lady, and some that we are going to execute. And one thing we decided, that since we are so few in number, we need to look for opportunities to do things that will involve other people from adjacent congregations like this one. And I think one thing we're still looking at, because you have time, is a summer float trip. The Otts, you may know them. They have a farm out in the country on a river. And we could float to or from their farm, or float to it, past it, and go down another few miles. But we're looking at that. But are you a self-starter? You know, are you willing to volunteer some ideas? And again, go through channels so that we don't go off in six different directions. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Like this guy that I was talking about who comes to church just about every week, not in his comfort zone, although he's learning to adjust with it and looks forward to church every week. Are you willing to go out of your comfort zone? Proverbs 22 and verse 13. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the streets. I'll be slain in the street. I can't do that. I used to have a boss who would always push me out of my comfort zone. I remember one day we were hiring a program director for one of our radio stations in an outlying city, and the manager there had talked to this guy and had then met with him, and he was the perfect candidate. And we got on the phone to him and said, well, great, we haven't met with this guy. What's he like? He says, well, he's perfect candidate. He's a little overweight. Oh, okay. And my boss said, what do you mean overweight? And they said, well, he kind of waddles when he walks. And so he came to me and he said, I want you to call that guy. Tell him we will hire him, but you have to tell him he's got to go on a weight loss program. That pushed me way out of my comfort zone. So after I worked up the courage, I called the guy, introduced myself. We didn't know each other. I don't think we even spoken on the phone or run into each other. I said, well, we'd like to hire you, but we would insist that if you be hired, that you go on a weight loss program. Whew, I was so far out of my comfort zone, and I could hear silence on the other end of the line. And then a little whimper or something. He said, you know, I've never had the opportunity to work for anybody who thought that much about my health. I'm thrilled. Wow. So, but one of my ventures outside. He gave me a few others of those. But sometimes we need to step outside of our comfort zone and do things that we are not comfortable with. And then finally, I think I'm within my tolerance on time. Maybe I'm a little short here. I'll have to do a dance or song and dance or something. But one of my favorite scriptures, and one that has directed my life, I think ever since I read it the first time, and it's Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, and I'm just going to read the first line of this scripture, and you may have heard it before, and that is, the point is, whatever you do, give it your best. Even if you don't think it's that important. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Give it your all. I'm challenged by that quite a bit lately because I retired 5 years ago and I can't stand being retired. Some people retire with a lot of money and they can travel all over the world and do what they want. And I have a comfortable retirement, but just for my own amusement, I do a couple of jobs. And I was in middle management for most of my career in broadcasting, and now I'm doing two jobs that take a total of maybe 20 hours a week. I'm a newscaster on a group of stations in Springfield. It's not a big job, but it only takes me about 2.5 hours a day to do. And I also, if you ever come to Fantastic Caverns, I give tours up there. Now, both of these are jobs that I wanted. I really would like to do that, but I can't afford to because it doesn't pay very much and I've got a family to raise. Well, now I don't have to worry about the paycheck much. I like the extra money. But I decided that even if in the tour job, I do 2 or 3 days a week for 4 or 5 hours. So it's not a real big job and the salary is measly. But I enjoy doing it. And I determined that whatever I do, no matter how important or how unimportant it is, I'm going to do it with my might. And that's what we all need to do within the church. Look at what can we do? And can we do it wholeheartedly with all of our might? Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whether you have 5 talents, whether you have 1 talent, whatever it is, do it with your might. So how do we find our talents? Well, we start with where we are, what we have, where we are. We don't have to wait for a big break to happen. Realize we all have gifts to share. Now, you may say, well, not me. I'm just, you know. No, we all have gifts to share. And in the coming weeks, we'll be examining ourselves prior to Passover. And in doing so, you might look real honestly at yourself and say, you know, I mean, don't look totally negative. We tend to take that as a negative thing. I've got to dig up all my dirty little sins. And even the one where he said, I wasn't told that. But whatever it is, that's true, but do we look on the other side and say, what can I do? And we're in an era in the church or a time in the church when that's important. Ain't many of us here. But we can be powerful. You know, Springfield Church, I think, is... You know, people say, how are you doing up there? Well, we don't have, even in Springfield, we don't have half the people we used to have, but those people are dedicated. They're solid. Maybe one or two exceptions, and maybe they're not exceptions. Maybe I'm just judging them. I'm not judging. Maybe I'm observing them wrong. But, you know, we all have gifts. We all have gifts. We need to pray for the leadership of God's Spirit. As individuals, we need to look for opportunities to volunteer. I'll just sort of set myself up here. We're going to have a feast in Branson this year. I know, because I'm partially responsible for some of it. Joe Dobson from Kansas City is going to be our feast coordinator this year, and he's asked me to assist him in that. So I'm probably be looking for volunteers. So if you want to help at the feast, you might give me a call sometime. Usually I handle information, and I usually look for people who live close to Branson, which, well, Springdale's not that far from Branson. But who know the town and who maybe go there regularly. But volunteer. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone. That doesn't make me very comfortable. I was comfortable in the Army. I mean, I know it can be a dangerous job. It wasn't when I was in there, but I was comfortable because somebody was always there to tell me what to do, and I kind of got used to that after a while. And whatever you choose to do, do it with all your might. Give it your very best, whatever you choose to do or whatever you're thrust into doing. Do it with all your might. And let's wisely invest our talents.